that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Hey, good morning, and welcome. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, the 17th day of November. Oh, it's a beautiful day at the Radio Ranch. The sun's coming up. Join us, won't you? You got time. Get your Bible out. Pour you a cup of coffee and join us. We'll be back right after this.
Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does. That will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And we say good morning, and oh, that wheel has rolled around. That wheel of the week has rolled around to Saturday morning again. And if you're tuning in, it's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got a couple of Wranglers here, a couple of them working on some other things this morning. That's how it goes. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and I missed you last Saturday morning, but I'm back. But we'll say good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we welcome John here this morning, and we're going to open the phone lines up and welcome you in as well. If you'd like to call in, we've got the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, but we're going to open up a phone line to our Heavenly Father first. It's like picking up the phone and calling Him. So let's do that. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We say, good morning, Lord. We come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly, obediently went to the cross to become a curse for us, to save Your people, Israel, that Your people would from then on be called by His name, by Your name, the name You gave Him, Christians. And that Your people would look at the whole Bible, the entire Bible, from beginning to end, and see that it is our history, and that it is Your word, and we are to follow it. Well, Lord, we ask for that today, that Your people would have their eyes opened, that they would see Your word. They would see the sin that so engulfs this land. They would see that there is only one way out. Not by Democrat, not by Republican, not by Libertarian, not by anything that any man can do, Lord, but only through repentance and turning back to You and Your laws, statutes, and judgments. We pray that would happen, O Lord, and that it would happen soon, before Your remnant is no more. Father, I ask for your blessings on this broadcast this morning. Be with John and myself and your Acres men that call in and the people that are listening all across this country and all across the world. Let your blessings be with them and with us. Let it bless you, Lord, as we speak to each other and others of your word. We give you all the praise and glory for it. Again, Lord, let it be a blessing to your remnant and a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, John, there's plenty going on in the world.
Yeah.
Israel's in sure. The Israelis, emphasis on the lie, are sure having a mess over in their part of the world.
Yeah, that's looking like it could escalate quite a bit here if Egypt gets involved there.
Yeah, they're bombing and getting bombed, and what a mess.
Well, I know you're in mourning, Richard.
What a mess.
Because no more Twinkies for you.
No
Those
more.
Just went out of business.
Yeah. That's pretty brutal, John.
I
saw that Twinkies.
Yeah, 18,500 jobs lost.
Yeah. So that's another part of our economy. You know, that's the growth in this economy is businesses like that shutting down. You know, in the old days, I don't want to say it was really any better, but in the old days, you know, some people with somewhat level heads in government would step in and say, you know, at least ask them to go to arbitration and go to, you know, work something out and let the unions know, listen, this is 18,000 jobs. They're union jobs. How many other food producing, and that, I guess that's a misnomer when you talk about Twinkies being food. You remember
amazing miracle of chemicals.
Yeah, do you remember the Super Bowl commercial? It was like Armageddon comes and here's a guy, you know, they're driving up in Chevys. And they're like,
oh, yeah,
well,
they got a Twinkie.
Where's Bob? Where's Bob? And it's like, Bob drives a Ford. He didn't make it. And then he says, hey, you want a Twinkie? So, yeah, that was that's about how that is. But they were American jobs in America. And there's another 18,000 gone.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many in our land today that do not even realize the way that they don't even know in the football field why the Pittsburgh Steelers are called the Steelers. It's not because they steal things. See, that's probably why why they're called the Steelers. But see, Pittsburgh used to be famous for steel, for iron, for jobs that people went in and worked 8, 10, 12-hour shifts and made good money at and made things that were made in the USA. Just about the only thing made in the USA anymore are children. And some of them come from overseas.
Most of them ain't white, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth. Even here in Little Laramie. Now, you kind of understand the race mixing and just how bad it is in your bigger cities. But here in Laramie, I have to confess my sin to you. I went to Wally World, supporting the Chinese Empire. Had to pick
the
up
evil
a few
empire.
Things. Yeah, I confess my sins to you. But I was about the only white person in there.
In Laramie?
In Laramie. I mean, everybody you see, here's a mixed couple, and there's a mixed couple. And then here's a lady with two girls, and you can tell that they're all mixed up. And everywhere. And you know, I guess it is that we're racist, but it's just not the way it's supposed to be. Just like with the jobs. You know, back when the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they made steel in Pittsburgh for cars made in America, and trucks and trailers made in America, and buildings, you know, steel buildings that the steel came from America, from American steel yards, and ships and buildings and iron girders and cranes and Caterpillar bulldozers and all that stuff.
The rails,
yeah, all of that. It was it was not a mixed America the way it is today.
No, and people who went to those factories took pride in what they did.
They
knew it was other Americans that were going to use it.
Yes.
Those days are over. I think it's interesting. I think it won't be too long you'll be seeing the Obama attack on Denny's, because Denny's is saying they're going to put a 5% surcharge at the bottom of their bills that say Obamacare.
Well, they're going to have to. They're going to have to. There was a, I wish I would have brought it for this morning, and let me put out the you are listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And if you'd like to call in, we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. Although I'd bet you John and I could sit in here and talk for 2 or 3 hours if the coffee would hold out. But here locally, there's a family that owns 4 Subways in Laramie. That tells you how big Laramie is. There's 4 Subways here. One out in West Laramie, one in downtown, one over by the university, and one in the Wally World. And they own, the same family owns those. They own about 2 or 3 in Cheyenne, and they owned several in Colorado. And this man sent a letter to the editor here about 2 weeks before the election, trying to explain. Now, this is a small business. This is what you call a small business owner. This isn't a Romney millionaire. These are people that work for a living. You know, they and there's a lot of work in owning and managing stores like that, like a Subway. And so,
a lot of risk.
A lot of high risk. A lot of cash capital you have to have up front. And so, see the phone lines ringing. If you hold just a second, I'll try to get this point across. And so he wrote a letter to the local editor saying that, you know, if Obama gets reelected and the Obamacare continues on the way that they've, you know, shown it. He says, I've read, unlike the senators that passed it, I've read the paperwork. And he went on to explain how he was going to, he could not grow and get over 50 employees total, and his, because he was going to have to pay so much more the bigger he got. And we're not
right.
talking about bigger like a 300-person factory. But in the money that it was going to cost him for these pretty much part-time, fill-in, service-type jobs that really pay pretty well, $8, $9, $10 an hour, you know, for standing inside making sandwiches.
Yeah.
You know, for a part-time job for a student or something, that's what those jobs are intended to be, that he was going to have to close stores. Managers weren't going to get bonuses, you know, less incentive for them, and all that stuff. And, oh, the letters came out from this left-wing liberal town. Like, well, you just go ahead and close your stores. You know, we don't care if that's how it has to be. And the mentality of the people has just gone just completely opposite of how it should be. And so,
yeah, I think we forget that sometimes. We
right.
blame it all on the president, but the
right.
reality is it's the people.
It is the people. And that's why we have that president, is because the people want their ears tickled. The priests prophesy falsely. Yeah, those priests and those good news gospel guys on TV and all that, they prophesy falsely, and the people love to have it so. We'll come back to that. John, let's go to the phone line. We got somebody else up early this morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, this is Robert from New York. Hey, John. I don't know.
Hey,
Kyle there? Is Jason there and Kyle there?
No, they're Kyle's traveling. He's got some things going on. And
Jason's got some sickness going on at his house. The flu's been visiting him. So.
Yeah, this time of year it starts to kick in.
Well, Robert, how are things? How are things in New York?
Well, I missed out on all the action of Sandy. You know, thankfully for me, I'm 250 miles north of the ocean, so I missed out on all that. Although we had some gusting winds about 50 miles an hour, but the power stayed on, and thank God it was good. But the people downstate are really suffering. I mean, that's like Katrina times 5. I mean, the area of damage and you know, the dollar value is just, the governor said it's like 30-some-odd billion dollars. So it's a, you know, total devastation along the shore coast. So it's really bad.
Right.
And the reason why I'm calling, basically, is I'm mourning the loss of the Twinkie today. And you know, chances are, Richard, it's going to be imported from China, and they're going to change the name to the Chinky.
The Chinky. Yeah, yeah, I bet that'll happen pretty quick.
Everything else.
You know, you can't buy, you can't buy, you go to the grocery store, not Walmart, the grocery store, and try to buy organic vegetables, like frozen vegetables. And they say made in USA, space, China. No,
yeah,
no, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Richard, at one time we were the agricultural dynamo of the world. I mean, and we could be called maybe a banana republic now because of all the GMO grain that we produce, but we can't even be a banana republic because we don't produce bananas.
Yeah, I thought we were we'd be called the banana republic because of the monkey in charge.
Well that's so. Hey, how about all the bottle rackets being sent out by the Palestinians and all of the press? I mean, you think the end of the world. I mean, they shoot bottle rockets, and then the Israelis, that they send F-16s and blow up the whole cities and everything there. I mean, is that fair?
No, but that's how it is. I was reading something on it right before we went on the air this morning here on Fox News. And I guess I got to confess that sin to you as well. Yeah, I look at Fox News. And it says,
sin, Richard.
It says Israeli aircraft bombed a police headquarters building in Gaza City, which set off a huge blaze that engulfed nearby houses and civilian cars parked outside, the Interior Ministry reported. No one was inside the building. Now, how do they know no one was inside the building? And if there was no one inside the building, why did they bomb the building? See, people.
And did you see the one, Richard? Did you see the one with the smart bomb where they zoned in on supposedly the Hamas guy and they just obliterated his car? I mean, no arrest, no trial, no nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's how the Antichrist, is, and that's what the Israelis are, people. I hope you need to understand that. I'm trying to knock some sense into your head. The Israelis deny Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That means, according to the Bible, which says that who denies the Christ, that is the Antichrist. The Israelites are not just the only Antichrist, but they are Antichrist. They are anti-Christian. They hate Jesus Christ. And the word says that if they hate Him, they will hate those who follow Him. That means they hate us. Not just us and our little group.
It goes all the way back, Richard, Esau and Jacob and those brothers, they just didn't get along. So now you mix Esau, the Edomites, and then you put the Khazarians together, and then you got hell right there in Israel. I mean, how can there be peace when you got people that just want to fight and they hate everybody?
Yeah. I just wish that, our hope is that the people will open their eyes, will see what is as plain as the nose on a Jew's face in front of them. That these people, they deny Christ. What does the Bible say about it? Oh, just love them and forget them and keep preaching Jesus to them. That's not what mine says.
Yeah, and they're making America a police state. It's kind of like, flying into the Tel Aviv where you're questioned, you're probed, you're examined, everything. I mean, I don't even like to travel anymore. I won't go to the airport. That's why I don't go to many of the church gatherings, because I won't go through the naked body scanner, and I won't get, fondled by some pervert.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if your church gatherings were closer by, I'd drive. But I'm not going to subject myself to the TSA and this unconstitutional police state that's going on, so I don't travel. They're taking our freedom away from us.
New York's not that far from Colorado.
So
glad to hear you made it through. We were praying for you, brother. Glad to hear you made it without any damage.
Appreciate that, John. Thanks so much. You guys selling any T-shirts? I hope so.
Oh, they're going.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had to reorder. I just left a message Thursday or Friday to reorder, 6 or 8 dozen more.
Excellent. Yeah, the articles in the Dragon Slayer, I mean, you guys are knocking them out of the park. I mean, they're so powerful. You know, God bless you guys for all you're doing.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. We got
a. I got to run. You just have a good day.
Thanks, right, Robert. Have a great weekend.
See you, Robert.
Thanks.
And we do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. And you heard it right there from Robert. We talked a little bit about it Thursday night, how there are still hundreds of thousands of people that have no power, no running water, very little food. They're up in the Northeast. And you don't see much of it because, like Robert said, you'd think the world was coming to an end over there in Israel because that's what all the media covers. But
that's more about the scandals with the generals.
It is.
Know, wag the dog.
It is. So, but keep the remnant that are affected by Hurricane Sandy in your prayers. Just think about that. We talked about that in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, how, you know, the people that are up there, that are in those affected areas, they probably don't have that hot cup of coffee in their hand that I do. And they don't have that running water that you can get up and wash your face and hands in the morning and, oh, that water's a little cold. Let me turn a little more hot water on. Let it run for a minute. Oh, now it's good and warm. Yeah, now you can wash your face and hands and flush that toilet and have the light come on when you hit the switch and the heat is starting to get cold up in the Northeast. So
they ain't seen nothing yet.
No. Keep the remnant that are affected in your prayers.
We haven't heard any from our people being in need though, because we've offered.
We have, John. We've had.
So that's great.
We've
great
had job. Several offers of help. Multiple, several offers of help of. Whether it's somewhere to stay or money or whatever for our people that are affected. And we're running ads on our broadcasting on the internet and the shortwave throughout the day and the night. And it sure seems like God has just taken care of his people. I spoke with Andre from Connecticut on Thursday night. He called in and he said that, he had plenty of storage. And he just rode out the storm. He said his biggest problem was he couldn't get the shortwave in as well as he liked. But once he got power on, he said it was like a vacation to him because he just sat and stayed inside and listened to archives and kind of got caught up with what was going on out here. And, you know, there's times that happens. You don't want to be out walking around when things like that have happened, when you've had major storms, and because there's it's just not a good time to be out just walking around for the sake of doing that.
That's a fact.
Well, John, how are things down in Colorado?
Good. Praise God. We've had a pretty mild winter so far and still making progress on the roof over there, kids' school, and it's quite an undertaking, but we just stand firm on Philippians 4:13. People say, well, how do you know how to do that? And I said, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, especially when you're doing it for the Lord.
Yeah.
He'll make sure you have the knowledge and it may not go easy. It may keep you on your knees, but you'll get her done one way or the other.
Yep. And I remember the pastor, it just continues to stand out in my mind. Seeing him at the pulpit years ago saying, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust.
Yeah, it does.
And the difference is, you know, is how you react to it and what you do about it. Because, and I can see him standing there saying, you know, you have to be ready when the storms come. And he wasn't, it would apply to a storm like Hurricane Sandy or Katrina, but that wasn't what he was talking about. And he was trying to get across, and he did to some. Some of us paid attention and applied it. That
yeah.
You have to trust in God and in
never
his
had a
word.
Bad thing happen to him.
That's right. The word is absolute. My dad used to have a saying, you know, that he said, if I say blackberries are ripe, you better get a bucket. You know? And it didn't matter. And, you know, he would elaborate, it don't matter if it's December or March or June. If I say blackberries are ripe, get a bucket. That means, you know, if I've said it, you can bet on it and just go with it. And the pastor was that way because
yeah.
What he said was backed up with scripture after scripture, not two witnesses, but usually six or seven witnesses from the scripture.
Yep, and he learned it in the school. School of hard knocks.
School of hard knocks. And he wants us to learn it from his teachings and not have to learn it from the school of hard knocks.
Right. Or you can always take another lap around Mount Sinai.
Right, and that's where we find ourselves sometimes. John, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Andre here in Connecticut.
Good morning, Andre.
Hey, Andre, how are you?
Hi. Beautiful morning out there.
Oh,
beautiful morning here.
Oh, it's beautiful here. The phone lines are ringing off the hook. Got them flashing all over, and the sun is shining, and the coffee's
great.
Still hot, and the word is still the word, and so I think it's a great day.
It is a great day. You're right. You know, you just mentioned people walking around after the storm and all this kind of thing. You know, I was a tree man years ago, and I always look at trees, and I always look up in the windy storms, and I'm driving down the road, and there's high wind. I'm always watching the trees and looking for something that might fall on me and this kind of thing. It's just kind of instinctive. But 2 days after the storm, I managed to wiggle around and get over to a customer's house to see how things were, a big account of mine, and stayed there about an hour. Nice sunny afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, it was Thursday afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Trees are all down all over the place, wires. And I went back the way I came, but I couldn't, because a very large tree, take your arms to get around it, fell down. Just a perfectly calm day, 2 days after the storm ended. Crashed down the road, took all the power lines down. I'd gone by there an hour before, if it came down while I was driving along, this thing was out in the woods about 15 feet. Could have crashed out of my truck and killed me. Now, things are still falling out of trees. People are walking around after a storm because it's calm. And that doesn't stop something from falling down and killing you. Most dangerous thing to do for a couple of days after a storm is go walking around under trees.
Yes, it is.
And people anyway, I hope anybody that's listening will take that to mind, because I just sat in my house for 2 days. And even so, I went out and there's a tree. Fell down right where I passed by. Dead calm afternoon. Anyway, I was reading some of the protocols the other night, and for some reason I decided to pick up and read Joel. And the second chapter, about this army galloping through, and, you know, the fruit in their front, and there's waste in their back, and they're running up and down and jumping into houses and doing all this thing. And this is essentially what these Edomites have been doing in our country for a generation or better, a couple of generations. And people think this is about army plowing through the land. Well, there may be an army that will come down from the north at some time, but this isn't it. This is really a picture of how this army of people, and they turn not to the left nor to the right, and they don't interfere with one another, and they're all cooperative. They've been doing this. They've been permeating every aspect of our life, destroying every institution, polluting every doctrine, etc. That's the first time I ever read the chapter, and my mind was just flashing back over what I've been reading for the last couple of days. You know?
Well, I think it's very accurate. I think it is.
Goes along with what we're trying to do with that film assembly, too, follows
right.
Joel.
That's right, to break that. You know,
it was a constant call for in Jeremiah, you know, a solemn assembly, gather a solemn assembly, in one chapter after another.
Amen.
But anyway, it was a great way to wake up this morning to read this thing, and it was like the last couple of nights reading just hit me in the back of the head, and it just flooded in on me what this is a picture of, what's going on and has gone on in this country. So.
Yep. The Psalms are real good for encouragement, too. I've been in the Psalms quite a bit lately. There's a lot of encouragement in there.
Yeah, it really is. you know, get wisdom, get understanding, and you know, if you understand and you have wisdom, you can take direction. You can know what to do.
Right.
And it's right there in psalm after psalm and chapter after chapter of the prophets. It's just unbelievable. I mean, so few people have any understanding or read anything about or read the Old Testament. The other thing was, I was listening to Jim McCanny, and he's talking about this comet that's way in the outer reaches now, that's going to be coming into the solar system in the next year or two, year and a half or whatever. It's going to be visible by next September, October. And he recommended, after he was talking about, you know, the manifestations of a comet passing by, a large comet, and the mosaic, you know, what happened, you know, when Moses was coming out of the desert, led by a pillar of fire, and he describes all this very accurately. And he recommended that there was a good picture of what this kind of an engagement with a planet, a large comet, would manifest itself with the fire in the sky and all the rest of it. And he said, and if you watch the Ten Commandments of Heston, there's a great picture of this, and it looks very similar to what I'm describing. You know, if you want to imagine, if you can't imagine what it looks like, see that. It's like, took the film out. And I was watching it, and I'm absolutely appalled that the poison that they've introduced into the dialogue, and, you know, Moses saying, you know, God came, is going to send a deliverer for us all, and we're all created in the image of, you know, God, and all these things that he never said while he was the prince of Egypt, and he was pushed out of it. Nothing was accurate historically.
Right. It makes for good TV, though. Makes for good TV.
There's so much misinformation. People think they're hearing something about the Old Testament.
Right.
You know, Moses kills the chief builder of the temples because he's beating Joshua with a whip. Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous, you know.
Yeah. Well, Andre, we appreciate the call. We'll try to get a couple of the other of these callers.
That's part of the army galloping through.
Amen.
Well, Andre, misinformation. I'll see you guys.
Have a great weekend.
Good day.
Have a great
weekend,
Andre. Thank you. And we appreciate you holding. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Did you guys happen to hear what the announcement from UPS this last week?
No.
Oh. This goes right along with the last caller's dialogue there about the destroying everything that's good. The UPS came out with some kind of a media announcement that they're cutting off all funding and support to the Boy Scouts until they start to allow homos into the Scouts.
Wow.
So there you go, major institution coming out on, you know, showing you who they are. You know, but going along with this, of course, the media is just reveling in what a great decision this is. Boy Scouts need to be taught a lesson and stop this horrible behavior about, you know.
That's sad. I was a Boy Scout. And
you know, the darn thing is, the same media, I noticed just even in the last week, has on several occasions come out time after time telling you how to protect your kid from pedophile predators.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Put one right in the tent with your kid.
Exactly.
Well,
you know, there's no you know, duality of thought going on there, right?
No. Well, there's
we'll
no thought.
Have to get complete double weapons for younger kids.
Yeah, there's no thought, is what it is. You know, and yeah, I see the note here on the internet. The philanthropic arm, you know, the of UPS. They gave about $85,000 last year to Boy Scouts, which is not too huge, but yeah, it's a lot. And I got 16 years at UPS, and you know, back in the up till the mid to late 80s, it really was a great company. But I sure saw the change, and I went through that change in that company when the accountants started to take over, and you know, we know what Antichrist people usually run those departments, And since then, it has changed drastically. And this is just one more part of it to show that the time of harvest draws near. The tares stand up straight and tall and proud and haughty and say, here we are, and make sure you see us over here. Take our picture, because we stand with these other tares, and that's where we're at today. And they stand up for this abomination before God. And, you know, I think it's the words of a Johnny Cash song, God's going to strike you down. It's as simple as that. The word says it. I'll rest on the word.
Yeah, the sad thing is that the Boy Scouts will probably give into it at some point. I heard they're already leaning towards that some circles.
See, the people can't relate, and you can't really speak in the kind of language that you'd like to, you know, over the radio. But people, queers, filthy faggots who do things that show they have a reprobate mind, they do not reproduce.
Yeah.
They don't reproduce, they recruit. And they want to have perversion with your children. When are the people going to wake up? I remember that, you know, is it going to get to where the Bible story is again, to where it says, oh, we'll have peace with you as long as we gouge out your right eye, or maybe we'll cut off your thumb? And the people say, okay, well, we'll put it out for a vote and let everybody think about it. You know, that's what incensed old Saul to come and to start wiping the people out. And is that what it's going to take today, Remnant? They want to recruit, they want to do perverse things to your children to recruit them into this abominable lifestyle? Anyway.
Well, you know, the thing that a lot of people don't know that I found out by doing some checking here is the statistics show that when they did some checking into this, it turns out that roughly 50% of every person that calls himself a homosexual or identifies himself as an adult homosexual admits that he has had sex with a minor during his life. And another statistic also shows that 50%, again, roughly 50% of homosexuals were accosted by an adult when they were young, when they were a minor.
Yeah. I got a 100% statistic for you here. It's Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Now, you can take that to the bank. He is coming. Jesus Christ is coming, not as a loving Savior again, preaching love. He's coming this time with a flaming sword to rule with a rod of iron, and the ungodly and the lawless and the homosexuals will be destroyed and thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death, for eternity. That's the way I read the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for the call. We're going to try to get these other callers.
All right. You guys have a
good one. All right. And we thank you, callers, for holding. Oh, lost that one. Good morning. Thanks for holding, and thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. I'm calling. Did you hear what happened with the Irish?
I'm sorry?
The Irish voted to give all power of parenting to the state.
Well, I don't doubt it. I haven't seen anything on it, but I don't doubt it.
You could put in, well, the New American has it as Irish vote to give state nearly unbridled power to seize children. But if you look it up, Irish vote children, you'll see, oh, they strengthen the children's rights. So if the parent, let's see, if the parent becomes immoral by the means of the rules of the state, then the Irish voted, yes, the state has the power, it's the state's children. And the United Nations is going to be making all the laws for Ireland, so there you go. And what the United Nations figure for children's rights is some old man comes with a piece of candy and the child wants to go, that's his right.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, the Irish on November 11th voted to give unbridled power to the state.
Well,
I just thought maybe a prayer for them.
Well, the pastor preached on that just a couple weeks ago in his sermon we played on Sunday morning, and I believe it was Child Haters and Little Bastards. And, you know, the parents do that, but they don't have the right to determine what happens with the child, because the child is God's. They have an obligation. The parents have a responsibility to God to teach and train that child up in the way he should go, so when he is old, he won't turn from it, to teach the children that the whole duty of man is to serve God. And the reason things like that can happen is, Pastor explained it, I guess it was just a week or two ago, is because the people have forgotten God's law. And he says, if you forget my law, I'll forget your children. And that is where we're at. It certainly
those
is.
Those people are Anglo-Saxons, you know, and they just voted to start up the state.
Yep.
That God gave those children to the state, not to them.
Yep.
So just thought I'd let you know and pray for them, because they pretty much opened the door to have the state be the parent and
yep.
not them. So
amen.
That was the story. That was it.
Well, thanks so much. You have a great weekend.
Have a great one.
Thanks for the call. Wow. When does it ever end, John? When does it end?
I don't think it'll be too long.
Yeah, I hope not. In Revelation, but the cowardly? Well, let's back up. Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes will inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. So we are told to be overcomers. So increase our faith, Lord. Help us to be overcomers. We certainly have plenty to overcome. But it reads on and says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable. That means homosexuals, people. That's an abomination before God as much as it is today as it was in the beginning. The abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's fact. That is fact, more so than the law of gravity. That law holds true.
Amen.
Phone lines are ringing off the hook this morning, John. Let's go back to the phone lines.
Good
morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Wranglers. Morning,
good.
Richard and John.
Good morning.
This guy in Montana.
Good morning, guy.
Hi. I'd like to say that God's people, the remnant, that we are gifted with ingenuity and motivation. And the elect are gifted and blessed with resilience and hope. And with that being said, I wanted to say that I heard something on the AM radio yesterday. Christians will be the threat, not faggots and sodomites. Also, this Denbury project, Denbury's an oil company, Denbury Onshore, they have a great big enormous investments in CO2 projects. And I heard yesterday that they're shutting them down because of the CO2 they're injecting into these wells, oil fields, is leaking up in through the ground and getting in the water and killing fish and doing this and that. And I'm watching this business going on. And then there's the Walmart. It's going to have a walkout pretty soon.
Saw that. They're not happy.
No. And then there's this other issue, which is the tobacco industry. The union that's part of the cookie makers is also part of the tobacco company, and the guys that make paper cups and stuff like that, they're all hooked up together. So they're having to, in their affiliation, AFL-CIO kind of stuff, they're going to have to strike along with these cookie makers. And coffee will become a rare thing, and this is all orchestrated stuff. And one thing I'd like to say about smoking, I've been smoking since I was 6 years old, and I cut tobacco when I was a little white slave kid down south with all them Murano Jews who call themselves Christian. And I think smoking keeps evil spirits away. It messes with your breathing sometimes, but I notice liberals and all the sissies and stuff that are out here wearing plaid shirts, getting laser treatment on their pimples, they hate cigarettes, and they condemn rednecks and white trash like myself while they're sitting in their Subaru talking about how bad us roughnecks are. And you know what? This stuff is sad. It is. I just got disgusted last night reading that plot against Christianity. I don't know who that woman was, but I mean, that's a hardcore lady there to write all that junk. And I just know this, that dandelions are good for you, and they're wild weeds, and they taste delicious if you don't have any coffee. I told you the other night, I spent years living out in the bush, and I got a photograph where this guy, the CIA dude, took a picture of me, and was hanging out at my jungle camp, and we was drinking tamarack tea made out of the cambium layer that's in their tamarack. He had the flu all the time, and I never get sick, Lord willing. And I was drinking that tea, and he was recovering from it. But anyway, I just wanted to say good job, fellas. And, watch out for singers, because there's a gift that I don't know about sometimes, is people that sing a lot. And just wanted to let you know that all these grand investments are failing. The unions are compelled, it seems nowadays, to do shoddy work. This pipeline that just went in here was done by the union, and it's a failing event, this whole event of the American industry and ingenuity. I heard you talking about Bethlehem Steel, and I worked for them for a little while, did some work for them, and it was just this insane union effort, and it was crummy. Everything was just crummy. Our enemies, these Jews or whatever they are, the gifts that God gave the house of Israel are considered conceited. They consider our ability to be resilient, creative, and independent and all that, our hopefulness, they call that conceit. And it's a fine line between being able to serve God and glorify Him with the gifts that He gave us, and the line is crossed when we become prideful. And all these empty steel mills and all that jazz, that's a result of virtue being turned over to pride. And but anyway, we're on our way to a great transition in the country and the world, and God be glorified in all things.
Amen.
You guys are doing a good job. Have a good day.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Thank you, Guy.
You too.
Always good to hear from Guy. And boy, the phone lines are still lit up, so we'll go back to them. Good morning. Thanks for holding, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, you are. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. This is Joanne in the middle of Wisconsin. And I just want to tell you guys that you are getting better all the time with this Dragon Slayer newsletter. I just love it.
Well, good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
I'm sorry to hear about the Branson deal, but there are a lot of cowards in this world.
You know, I was talking with a man yesterday about that very thing. And, you know, I just sense that it's a test for us on the ministry, us here and the remnant out there. I remember the pastor saying something like this would happen, and he'd say, you know, God's saying, you still love me? Am I still in control? Can I still take care of things? And I also think it's a test for the people there at the hotel. It is. I don't know that we've heard the last word of it, but I know God hasn't. And I think it's a test for them as well.
And it always seems like when something leaves, something better comes in.
Amen. So yes. You don't shut a door without opening up another one. So.
That's right.
That's right. I've been going to bed very early because I've been very sick since the beginning of November. And, of course, I don't have any insurance. So when I go to anywhere, they say, oh, well, we don't know what it is. So I better rely very much on my blessed assurance. And I would sure like you guys to pray for me.
We'll sure do it. John, you want to lead off?
Sure. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name, but I got a bad connection.
Joanne.
Yeah, Joanne,
okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, and we lift up our sister Joanne.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we're grateful for Joanne and what a blessing she is to this ministry. And Lord, we come to the chief physician. You know Joanne has limited funds, and she puts her faith in you, Lord, and we do too. And
yes,
we claim, even now as we speak, we claim that healing power of Jesus Christ to flow into this woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I pray that the blood of Christ would flow through her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet.
Yes.
That you would make her whole, Lord. Make her 100%. And that she would be a mighty weapon and a strong faith believer that can continue to proclaim the truth there in that state of Wisconsin. Lord, we come against any demonic, satanic spirits like that Freedom From Religion Foundation there in Madison, and we bind them right now, Lord, from having effect on even one of yours, Lord.
Yes.
Come against them with everything we have, everything you have, Lord. We bring it to your feet, and we ask for judgment and justice. But, Lord, we just pray that your blessings would be upon this woman each and every day of her life. In Christ Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. You have a very blessed day.
You do the same. Thank you.
You too. Well?
So I got, I'm reading here. You know, things are getting interesting when Franklin Graham, Reverend...
Yes, Billy Graham's son.
Yeah, Billy Graham's son comes out and says, this is a headline, "We have turned our backs on God."
I saw that this week.
Yeah, the more we turn our backs on God, the bigger our problems become. Graham, the son of the world-renowned evangelist Billy Graham, tells Newsmax in a wide-ranging interview, "I didn't hear any of the candidates say that we needed to call our nation to prayer. I didn't hear any of the candidates saying that we needed to ask God for help." But the interesting thing is, if you read on, he starts talking about how we need to pray for blessings on our president. And I'm like, yeah, I think we'll stick with Psalms 109.
Yeah. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And Jonathan, how are you?
Good morning. Abundantly blessed. How are you, brother?
Very well. I was going through the admonition that if someone is sick, to call on the elders, and where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there also.
Amen.
So, fellas, if you would, I'd like to pray for a friend of mine's wife who has had a stroke, and she's in the hospital up in Connecticut. She's probably going to be there for a few weeks to get some way of using her one side, you know, to get that type of mobility back.
Right.
And I'll just use her first name. It's Patricia.
We'll be
Heavenly Father, I call on your name with the Radio Ranch Wranglers or the elders in this situation, Lord Jesus, that your healing touch would be on Pat.
Yes.
And a comfort to her husband, who is a name is Al, that he would be of great cheer for her.
Yes.
And help her and sustain her. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our brother Cal too, Lord.
Yes.
We claim the healing power of Jesus Christ to flow into that man even now as we speak,
yes,
from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Lord, we're grateful for Cal and what a blessing he is to this ministry. I ask that you would restore him, grant him strength, energy, vigor, and vitality of his youth, Lord. Let him be a mighty weapon for your army. In Christ Jesus' name, we thank you for him.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John. I can use that. I can use a little help myself. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks.
And I'll say good morning, man.
Thanks, Cal. Have a great weekend.
Morning.
You bet.
And John, I think we got time for one more caller. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee.
Yes, sir. We've got a big industrial area outside the city of Chicago, just in one of the suburbs. They've chased all the industry out of Chicago. But I had the opportunity to go through those plants about 10 years ago. It's all mess. So when I heard about, you know, some comfort here, when I heard about this hostess thing, I figure 16,000, there's going to be 15,000 Mexicans out of the job. Maybe 500 Jews at the top collecting. Few of our people.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Sure enough, they interviewed one of the plant workers. Jose Garcia is his name. So, you know, maybe they'll go back. Yeah, the funny thing is, this guy didn't have an accent. So, you know, these people have been dug in here for decades. But the subway in Chicago, it sounded like that might have been a white guy, the subway owner up there. In Chicago, it's all gone to the Indians years ago. All the subways,
yeah,
all the Dunkin' Donuts, traveling through the country, you stop at a Days Inn or something like that, it's all Days India.
Save 7-Eleven, yep.
Yeah, oh, 7-Eleven, how is it? Hi, how are you? That's about all I called about. So we probably didn't lose that many jobs for our people. Of course,
that's true.
Be looking to take some other ones, but that's about it.
Right.
One thing, if you have time, somebody called Thursday night your program, Richard. And it might have been Guy or something like that. He said he doesn't have any friends and he feels like he's sitting on top of Mount Everest or something like that. And I sort of sympathize with that. I haven't trusted anyone for a long time. It may sound trite, but it's not. Jesus Christ is a friend. I mean, he
yes.
said, you know, and a better friend than you'll have on earth.
Yes,
and amen. That himself somewhere in John. I'm not sure exactly where. And sitting here in Chicago, I mean, on the top of Mount Everest would look good. This is more like the slime pits or something like that.
You're
so,
right.
You do have a friend.
Amen. Hey, thanks for sharing that. I'm sure he's listening in.
Thank
God
you.
Always said if you could count your true friends on one hand, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodbye.
All right, thanks. Yeah, and that's very true, John. The Bible talks about that, not having many friends, not being friend to many.
But yeah, evil companions corrupt good morals.
Right. And we're not to be a friend to the world.
Nope.
We're not. The Bible says it. Because the world hated him, our Lord and Savior. They hate him today, and they hate those that follow him. Well,
yeah, it's interesting. People are starting to realize it, too, in the churches, I think, even some of these Judeo-Christians.
Yes.
They're like, hey, did you know that if you support Christ, then the world should hate you and you should be persecuted?
Yeah.
And I go, oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah, they're starting to read their Bible. They're starting
yeah.
to read their Bible and have their eyes open to it. So, well, Remnant, we thank you for joining us this morning on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we invite you to church tomorrow morning. ScripturesForAmerica.org is the address. And 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. So join us there, and we'll see you there tomorrow morning. Thanks again for joining us here.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake-eyed. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake-eyed. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake-eyed. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.